to Kenya in a little rural school there in Yahururu. We've slowly warmed our way up to that, and being there longer and longer periods of time. The last time we were there for 8 months. So we're now back for a couple of months, and then we'll be going back again. So we are basically saying that we are living in Kenya now. So for the next 3 years, we expect to be in Kenya and then coming back to Canada for visits. So just so you know that. I wanted to say thank you very much to VFA for all your support, your prayer support, and your financial support. We really appreciate it to know that people care and love us and are praying for us. It's very lonely when, or at least for us, when we are in the mission field over there in Kenya, away from your family and friends, it's difficult. So it's just to know that those people are caring for us and praying for us is a huge thing. So we really appreciate that. And we also appreciate there are many individuals within this church community as well who support us personally, and we wanted to say thank you as well to them.
It's your turn. It's my turn. I just wanted to say one thing that's off script. As I was driving from Matheson, where we're staying here this morning, I know it's Father's Day, but I realized I had this thought that I'm becoming like my mother. If you remember my mother in my childhood, my mother was never without a clipboard. And her clipboard had lists upon lists upon lists and tabs of tabs. And I realized that my prayer journal is becoming my clipboard, because I have this binder with 10 tabs. And I'm saying, okay, I need to add this list and add this list, so I need more tabs. And I realized that I'm becoming my mother. But on those tabs, the thankful page list, so many of the names, churches, but supporters, and I realize how many names on that page are friends from BFA. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. You are remembered. You are remembered while we are over there. We want to give you a brief introduction of our work in Kenya. Our primary technology. Now this is going to go automatically, we think, right? Just talk. Our primary work in PACE Kenya, PACE Ministries, the word PACE is Pan-African Christian Exchange. The vision of our director is a man named Washira Gamau, and he has a heart for all of Africa and even the what he calls the diaspora. So he's working right now in Panama and Haiti with African descent missionaries there. But his heart and where our heart is for evangelism and education in this community of Africa. But in this community of Africa, we see children from at least 8 different nations. Somalia, Ethiopia, Uganda. No, Uganda's not there. Rwanda, Congo, Burundi, Tanzania. So he brings children into the school to educate them for 10 or 15 years. And then he wants to send them back as educated Christian leaders. What did we say? Building spiritual leaders that have a compassion for each other. Why I say it like that is in Kenya there are 42 tribes. Many of these tribes are historical and ancient rivals. And in the school we have Pokot children playing with Tugen children, tribes that are warring out there but are in school together. And we have nations. So part of the heart that we appreciate from Washira and PACE Ministries is the through community development, through education and evangelism, bringing children together so they can go into their communities as agents of reconciliation and peace. The school, PACE Ministries, has an elementary school, which is great. Well, it has a nursery school, an elementary school, and a high school. And I work in the schools themselves. I work a lot with the high school, working on a journalism club, helping them in their writing and exercise.
I also work with a club, a pen pal club. So we have a class, grade 4 class in Guelph, in a Christian school, who write back and forth to the students in Kenya.
You just push the button.
And so you also saw there how we also, when we're in the school, we also care for the students. Part of what we do is a little bit of one-on-one counseling, with some of the students, but David is also the school chaplain for both the high school and the academy, so the students can come in and talk to him. The other part of caring, which I didn't anticipate, is being more of a mother for some of these children. A lot of the children board at the school, that's the school system there, so they need someone who shows them compassion, so I'm putting band-aids on them. They come to the library for that. And then one day, Komen, who is from a northern nomadic tribe, and he's there at the school boarding, he's kind of tall and thin, but he always looks disheveled. No matter if he's in a school uniform, whatever, it always looks like he's just rolled out of the ground or something. But he came in this day with this huge rip down his pants. And so I said to Komen, there's a huge rip in your pants. Yeah. And I said, we have a tailor on site. So I said, you should go to the tailor and get him to fix that. And he kind of looked at me and said, no, the tailor won't do it. He says I wear him out. And I laughed too. I said, okay, Komen, come back tomorrow. So I brought needle and thread the next day, and I showed him how to sew his pants and a few of the other children as well, and gave them some needle and thread so they wouldn't wear the tailor out.
As you, I think you know, the focus of my work there is with the seminary. Many, many pastors and church leaders have barely high school. Often they have a grade 8 education, and they're leaning to lead the churches. So we have established, or they have established, Pan-African School of Theology, which is basically a service provider. So we use curriculum from other institutions, but we find the students, we find the teachers, and we go throughout Kenya to set up these learning centers. So teachers, you can push the button. So teachers can teach the students who then go work in the ministry areas. We work in the slum areas of Mombasa and Nairobi. We work in very remote villages like Wamba and Archer's Post. And then we work in other areas in sort of semi-rural cities. The picture that just flew past is Martha. Martha loves BFA because we've supported her for a few years. She's still getting support through a bit of a surplus in our account. She still thinks it's coming from BFA, but we'll let her thank us. Martha is a success story. Diane and I wanted to visit Martha's church. And we went to Haruma is the place, and it is not a typical Nairobi slum. If you look in the encyclopedia or Google Nairobi slum, you have these sprawling areas. Kibera, the world's largest slum, is there. Haruma is a slum that has gone vertical. So you have these concrete apartments that often fall over, killing many people. But it is an incredibly high-density slum. Martha has this little church there. And she was... Diane and I visited her at her home, and she took us to the church, and it's about the size of this platform, and 60 people meet there on a Sunday morning. She had to get a second office, so we were sitting in this 8x8 concrete box, and there was a knock on the door, and the woman came in who I recognized. So Diane and myself and another pastor and Martha was sitting there. The woman came in who I recognized, who had served us lunch when I was at this church earlier, and I said, "Hey, Josephina, how are you?" And she goes, "I'm doing very well." As a disciple of Martha, as was working with Martha. And then in came another woman, a pregnant woman named Mina. And Martha has been discipling Josephina. Josephina lives in this town, in this slum area, and met Nima. Nima's three children, three men, oldest of 14, but she didn't look very old to me. And had been living and working in the bars for the last 10 years, and just recently have come out of the bars because of Josephina's work, because of Martha's work, because of our work. So we are there together, and Josephina is caring for now Nima, who is pregnant and going to deliver, and she is discipling the third generation of Christian witness in this highly densely populated, very scary slum in Haruma in Nairobi. That moment was a moment where we sat back and said, what we are doing is important and does matter. A surprise for me when I got there is we hold leadership conferences every October. There is a national leadership conference. Not huge. Our guest house can only seat about 30 people, so we max it out. But we had 8 countries represented, leaders from West Africa, East Africa. And out of this conference now, we have 5 small conferences, a Women in Leadership, a Youth in Leadership, and other mini leadership conferences. I sat around the table of the Women in Leadership, and I am the organizer of these conferences. And sitting around the table was a woman from Eritrea, and I couldn't find it on a map before I met her. A persecuted Christian, Somali persecuted Christian, Sudanese who are refugee from both civil war and famine, sitting around the table, getting refreshed and energized to do more ministry. So, I mean, my responsibilities predominantly are with these people.
For those of you who don't know, I work in the library at Pace. I started a library, building it and resourcing it for the primary classes, although the high school do come in as well. 2% of Kenyan schools have libraries. And one of the reasons why I started the library was to have another safe place for the children to play and to do some creative thinking as well. You'll see that in the pictures.
The girl in the yellow sweater is a Pokot child who, if she was stayed in her tribe, she'd been married by now, and she's only 12 or 13 years old. The little girl with the eyes is our favorite. She's from Nigeria. So again, a cross-cultural and cross-national group in that school.
Yeah, we have various things in there. You saw the building toys. We have dolls and truck cars. Oh, this
pencil sharpener.
This is a pencil sharpener, and it's a great toy for the children. They don't have them in their classrooms. They've never seen it. Even the high school students come in and kind of look at this, and they don't really ask me what it is, but I can tell they don't know what it is, so I go and show them. But now they keep coming in and keep sharpening their pencils. It's kind of, yeah, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because they sharpen their pencils now until they're like little stubs because it's so much fun. We're also introducing a online encyclopedia with the iPad, so we're just starting to introduce that with them as well. You can tell who put the slide presentation together. There's way more pictures of the library than any of David's. The other part that I thought my mission was, is the library was one, and then the second one is the student partnership. So we have, the school consists of paying students and students that need to be sponsored. So we have students who are from the area, who might be from the slums in the area or poorer areas, but we also have the foreign students who come as well, who need to have support in that. So I look kind of after the website and in dealing with some, trying to find sponsors for the students that need it as well.
About, was it my turn or your turn?
Well, I'm just saying. So our task, our mission, which we thought was our full mission, was for me to go to the library, the students' partnership, and for David to go and work with the seminary and the conferences. But what we've discovered while we were there is that's not our whole mission. Our mission has to do with the people that we meet and that God brings into our lives.
Rose is, well, I think she's adopted us as her children, but she calls us her parents, is a woman who has lost a job recently. And so we've been helping her sort of reestablish her economically. We've been helping her get some chickens so she can have a chicken business. But she's a graduate of the seminary that I work with. She has a certificate in Bible Training Center for Pastors. So she has the certificate, and in her church there are very few trained people. So she has now become a leader of her church. She is a prayer warrior in her church. She is a chaplain in one of the hospitals in the area and just loves going into the hospitals and loves going into other areas where women don't usually go, but even herself, she's found a passion because of her work through the seminary. You know, we've been able to work with her on an individual basis, but she is also now out into the community because of the education she was able to receive through that.
Kenya is still a very male patriarch society, so a lot of women don't get higher education or continued education, so that's very unique in Rose's situation to be able to have that and be recognized by her church as having that learning. You saw some other photos go by of people that God has brought into our life, and if you want later, we can share those stories with you. I'll just share one more. There was a woman, Esther, with some children. She is a single mom. She has four children. In the picture, she has three, and one of them is a baby. She lives in the neighborhood, and I became friends with her, and she's very struggling right now with poverty. She lost her job, so she's really dealing with the poverty issue. But one day, or a few days, I heard God's voice in my head say, go see Esther and give her 1,000 shillings. Now, I just kept putting that off for a few days and not doing it. So one day when we were walking down the road back to our home, there is the school has a water source, so they have a tap for the community where they can come and fill their water jugs. But one day we're walking down there, and we saw this girl and this boy, Faith and Blessing, who are Esther's children. And they were going to get water, but the tap was not open that day. The person who manned it wasn't there. So we told them to come back to our home, and they could fill their water at our home. And was asking Faith, because she's in grade 6, I think, I was asking her how come she wasn't in school that day, because she should be in school. And she just kind of shrugged her shoulders and didn't say anything. She's very quiet. So I didn't push the matter, but we had decided to help them carry their jugs back home, because Blessing is this high. He's like 4 years old. So we helped them carry their water home and greeted Esther. And then Esther, we were just chatting with her, and I said, Esther, how come Faith's not in school? And she kind of looked at me and could tell she didn't really want to tell me, but she didn't have the money for the school fees. And I said, oh. I said, well, how much are the school fees? Now, 1,000 shillings is like $12 Canadian. So I said, how much are the school fees? She said, 950. And I said, well, God told me to give you this. And we both started to get all teary-eyed. And that was a God moment and a reminder to me to listen to that voice. But since I didn't listen, God put them right in front of me so I couldn't ignore them. But, you know, sometimes we need that. But that was a reassuring moment for her. She has faith, but her hope, this gave her hope that God is really listening and caring for her. I could see in her over the while that her demeanor, that she was struggling with her faith. But this really, like I said, encouraged her and was a great moment for both of us to just praise God and thank Him for what He is doing.
Since that moment with Esther, she couldn't afford her $15 a month apartment, so she's living in a $5 a month apartment and trying to get a little business going. And she is a trained ECE teacher, so we're trying to find a nursery school for her. So we're there for our mission, but people keep getting in our way. You know, we keep making friends with people. When we walk from our house to the school, it is probably maybe 100 meters, you know, not even that. And it often will take us 25 minutes because you have to stop and greet everybody who steps in front of you. You have to greet them all. You have to chat with them. And if you know them at all, you have to say, Habari, how are you? What's going on? And it takes us 25 minutes to walk that 50 meters. But it is all about people.
So we put up here that we're transforming lives in Kenya. That's our mission. But it's also your mission to transform lives wherever you are. So Dave and I have been, you know, different places. Even when we lived in down south, we would be trying to transform lives wherever you are. So I just want to encourage you that although it sounds like we are doing this thing in Kenya, it's just part of our life and has always been. And as a follower and a believer in Christ, it should be part of your life as well, wherever you are, your neighbor, your family, the person sitting next to you. You can just help listening to them and their story and just encouraging them that way. You can also, help with Kenya, even from being here in South Porcupine. That's one way you can do it as well. I do have over on the table, if you want to know more about what we do, we have a little postcard, and there's information on there of how you can get in touch with us. There's this little brochure from International Teams that about Impact Kenya PACE, so it gives you a little bit more information about the programs in PACE at Kenya. And then there's also a sheet that tells you if you wanted to help financially, you can also pick that up. So they're all sitting over there.
Just, Diane made a comment right at the beginning that we've been full-time missionaries through MSC for about a year and a half, and we're still working through MSC. Some of the programs are funded through international teams, so there's a little bit of confusion there. But when we were sitting with your friend Phil Barnes, who is the director of MSC, some of us know him. He used to be in Chapleau, and we know the family a little bit. And we told him what we were doing, and we're considering MSC. And he looked at us and said, "You've been full-time missionaries for 5 years. You just didn't know it." So again, what our mission is and what we do has just come out of, and being Father's Day, I think it's come out of the legacy of my mom and dad here.
So a tradition in Kenya is when you visit someone's home, before you leave, you pray a blessing on that home. So I would like to pray for this family and this home. It's also our home too, but we feel very much at home here. So I'd just like to pray with you now. Father, I thank you that you are our Father and our great model of being a Father. Thank you that you have compassion for us, that you care for us, that you provide for us, that you discipline us, but that you love us deeply. I thank you for that love that is demonstrated here in this church home with these people. I thank you that you have brought them together to support each other, to encourage each other, and as we sang earlier, to be a family. I pray that you will bless this little community. I pray that you will bless them with joy and peace, and courage and wisdom. And in Kenya, as they end their prayers this way, they go, "May the love of Jesus Christ and the fellowship begot." May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. He always gets that first one. So I know that some of you may have plans. You feel free to go and enjoy the rest of your day. If some of you want to ask us more questions or hear more stories, feel free to stay and you can chat with us. Thank you.